My name is Yemi, and I'm here with my amazing co-host, Philia.
Hey, guys.
And welcome to Treading Faith. Treading Faith is a weekly Bible study podcast dedicated to taking a deep dive into the Word with honest, fun, and sometimes difficult conversations surrounding our everyday life, our relationships, and our faith walk with Christ. So, Philia, what are we diving into today?
Well, our topic for season four is yoked. Finding and maintaining relationships guided by the Word. We are using the book, The Top 10 Most Outrageous Couples of the Bible by Dr. David Clark, and we are diving deep into the lives of 10 to 12 biblical couples to gain insight and wisdom on how to be equally yoked in relationships and avoid or improve the ones that are lacking. Now, today's lucky couple, or let me say throuple, is Jacob, Leah, and Rachel. Well, first, Yemi, I think this couple is extremely outrageous because we need to understand a little bit of the background story of Jacob as the leader of this relationship. I want to just discuss that Jacob had a deal with the father of Leah and Rachel, who was Laban. And in this, he actually wanted to marry Rachel. However, the father tricked him into marrying Leah and said that he had to work 7 more years in order to have Rachel. Now, the thing with this is Jacob didn't necessarily stand up to Laban to say, hey, I don't think this is fair. And yes, it's okay that I will still marry Leah, but in respect, I still want to be able to have Rachel. Instead, he worked. And by him working, it leads to a series of outrageous events. Now, I want to take the reading from Genesis 29, verses 31 to 35. And we'll also take a look at Genesis 30, verses 1 to 24. So in Genesis 29, verses 31 to 35, it says, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, it is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too. So she named him Simeon. Again, she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, now at last, my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons. So she named him Levi. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, this time I will praise the Lord. So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. We now go to Genesis 30, verses 1 to 24, and I'll read sporadically. Now, when Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, give me children or I'll die. Now, Jacob became angry with her and said, am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children? Then she said, here is Bilhah, my servant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and I too can build a family through her. So she gave him her servant, Bilhah, as a wife. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Then Rachel said, God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son. Because of this, she named him Dan. Now Rachel's servant, Bilhah, conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won. So she named him Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Now Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, what good fortune. So she named him Gad. Now Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, how happy am I? The woman will call me happy. So she named him Asher. Now it just continues on and on again with the same results. Right? It has not stopped that Jacob continues to embed, because that's the word he used, these women, and they all bear him children. Now, I'm going to jump all the way to verse 22. When God remembered Rachel, he listened to her and enabled her to conceive. She became pregnant and she gave birth to a son and said, God has taken away my disgrace. She named him Joseph and said, may the Lord add to me another son. Now, I'm seeing the progression of this where in the end, God has always made a promise and everyone has taken upon them their own, tried to navigate their own destinies instead of taking what God has designed and God has ordained for them. And from this, the consequences led to more outrageous events. If Rachel had been patient, she would have gotten the child that God had already promised her. But instead, when Jacob did not show the love that he needed and the affection that he needed to show Leah, who was his wife, he should have equally treated her in the way that he treated Rachel, even though she was not the favorite. God said that was wrong. And because of that, he blessed her womb to have children. So that was almost God's way of saying that, you know, this behavior is not the leadership that a man in a family is supposed to do. This behavior is not one that is commendable. As a man, you have to take leadership, but you also cannot mistreat your wives.
Yeah, I think in the relationship, in this throuple, the women were the leaders. They're the ones who made the demands and they're the ones who got what they wanted. Unfortunately for Leah, she was unloved. And because of Jacob's mistreatment of her or dislike for her, God gave her children. And she thought that that would make Jacob happy, that would bring him to love her, but he didn't. And then she gets into a war with her sister. So they have this competition and they're sleeping with Jacob. They're sending their servants to sleep with Jacob. And Jacob is doing all these things to please these women or just pretty much doing as he's told. He failed to take leadership. He failed to be the head of his family. In this particular chapter, David Clark says there's a wimp and there's a witch in this relationship.
I love those two words. Yeah,
it's an unbalanced relationship. Right. It basically says that the man lacks the leadership skills to take control and be the head of his family. And because he lacks leadership skills, the woman then takes control and becomes resentful because now she has to wear the male hat, which she probably didn't design, and she has to deal with a man who doesn't really participate, allows her to make all the decisions and kind of says like, whatever. So it's not even a partner. This is no longer a partnership. And what's interesting about this throuple is what they learned from their parents.
Right.
And how they became who they were in their relationship because of the things they observed.
Correct.
First, Jacob, he was the second child. I mean, although he was a twin, he was born second. And his mom conspired to help him steal a blessing, his brother's blessing. So his mom manipulated, told Jacob what to do, manipulated the father, who was like senile at that time, like couldn't see, couldn't do anything, and gave Jacob this blessing. And because Jacob got this blessing, he had to be on the run. He left his home. He left his family because now he was afraid. He had gotten this blessing that was surely to give him prosperity, but he was afraid to hold it. He couldn't even stand there and say, yes, now I'm the head of this clan. He had to run. So he began as a wimp. He began in a situation where a woman took control and was manipulative and he just allowed it. He was passive. You have Rachel and Leah, whose father manipulated Jacob to marrying them both. Jacob came for Rachel and got Leah. he struck a bargain, got Leah. When he discovered he was duped, he didn't demand anything. He didn't try to renegotiate. He wasn't assertive. Laban manipulated another 7 years of service. Like he worked 14 years to get the woman that he wanted. Mm-hmm. And probably during the time he was resentful towards Leah because that wasn't the woman he initially wanted.
Right.
And so again, he allowed someone to manipulate him and he just kind of just accepted it. And here Leah and Rachel are just like, you're easily manipulated. You're a man who just fall for anything. So what do? They manipulate him.
Now, I totally agree with you. And thank you so much for giving that background of Jacob's past. So he didn't really have a great precedence to learn the great characteristics of a leadership or true leadership, because in this,
He saw his father get manipulated. He saw his mother do the manipulation. Like, she was the actual leader of the family. So he's already used to seeing how women can and accepted it. We don't know what God's plan would have been for him. Now, when he reaches to Laban, the father of the girls, again, the same thing. He didn't stand up for anything. And they always say that if you don't stand for something, then you're falling for anything. And in this case, it was the same thing. So basically, you know, using Jacob as this pawn, he was basically a toy in this entire relationship. And one thing we have to realize is that women will not respect anyone that is not a leader. They will not respect their husbands if they are not leaders. The minute a woman knows that she is the leader of her household, everything is open. You know, there's no discussion. At that point, the woman is the one. And now, of course, you know, in families, you have strong women. It's okay to still be strong. But as a woman, you can still be strong and still show submission to your husband. No one says that submission is weak. In fact, to submit is actually strength, because you understand what your role is. It's not necessarily weakness. But when a man, like the author calls him a wimp, once a woman realizes that she has a wimp, yes, she's able to connive. She's able to manipulate. She lacks respect. She feels like she can use her husband as a puppet. And this is exactly how he was treated in this family. And even when the two sisters started to compete with one another, he still didn't stand. Instead, he says, oh, how can you blame me? It's not my fault that God did this to you. And he fell for all of these schemes that were happening. And for several years, he continued to procreate with different women. And look at all the consequences. Look at all the children that were born in this time that could have all been prevented had he just stood up and been the actual leader that God wanted him to be.
You make an important point about a woman who becomes the leader in her household because of her partner's failure to take that role, to take up the mantle. And there's a lack of respect there. And I think personally for me, I too would like a leader. And I think one of the things I struggle with in terms of finding a partner is that I meet so many passive men. They say they're leaders, but they don't act as leaders. There's no action behind their words, or they make a lot of demands that would make me submissive, but they don't step up as a leader. So it's okay to want submission from a woman, to want all these things from me. I'm talking about me. But when you give me nothing, right, it's like, why am I submitting to you? Yeah. There was this one thing that I watched. I looked for it, but I couldn't find it. It was this YouTube series about couples. And it was a bunch of different couples, different lengths of marriage. And they would come together and they would have these couple talks. And they would, you know, pose a question. And one of the things was about leadership and allowing your husband to take on that role. And it's probably very, you know, it's scary for a man to take on that role as a leader for his family, right? He's responsible. He calls a shot. If something fails, it's on him. And yes, that is scary. But when you find a good partner, you have someone who's supportive. You're actually discussing these things. So even though you're the leader and you show up as a representative, like you're the president and there's a vice president, we know the roles. You still consult with your vice president. You still say, like, let's discuss it. These are my ideas, especially major decisions. But you show up as a leader. You show up as a representative, the mouthpiece. And so I always think to myself, I don't really think that women desire to have a man who's a wimp. But I don't think that that's how it initially starts out. I think there may be some signs at first.
Right.
But I think what ultimately happens is that over time, a man becomes passive and relinquishes control to a woman, and the woman starts asserting control and then becomes disrespectful. If I'm making all decisions, if I have to think, if I have to do all these things, if I have to organize this household, you know, fix everything, it's like, what are you here for?
Right. Why do I need you? I completely agree with that, because in my personal life, I struggled with that. You know, in my second long-term relationship, it's like I was the breadwinner. I was the one disciplining the kids. I'm the one educating the kids. I'm the one setting the standard of how our family should act in public, how they should be at home. You know, I'm the one making us look good, let me put it that way, and not giving the man the ownership of the family. So when people saw us, they just said, oh, this is great family. Oh, you know, you look good. You know, you have a nice house, you have this and that. But they didn't know that I was the one basically holding that all together. And it started to crumble because once I started realizing, wait a second, I can do this without you, the relationship started to fall apart. Because any type of, and this is a person who was strict and made a lot of demands that to me felt outrageous, because it's like, how can you make demands and you don't pay the mortgage? Or how can you make demands and you don't put food on the table? And how do you want steak, but where's that steak coming from? Because I'm purchasing the steak. And at first I didn't do it because I was about pleasing, you know, my partner. But when I started to realize, wait a second, you're asking for all these things. You want the best cable channels. You want to make sure you have all the basketball channels and the soccer channels and all these things, but you're not paying cable. It's like I put myself in a situation that I almost felt like, how could I complain when this precedent started? I did not say anything about it. But at the same time, I also come from this rule of thought where, or this rule of thumb where, you shouldn't have to tell someone how to be a man, because that you're the man in a sense, right? You dictate how you dictate the fabric of your family. You dictate the tone of your family. And he did not set a good tone. So of course the relationship did not survive, but it definitely made me stronger. But it also made me realize that the kind of partner I was looking for is one that, one, is willing to communicate if there is a problem with leadership, but definitely one that knows how to take on a leadership role, but definitely has discussions in partnerships, because I think partnerships are extremely important.
Oh yeah, partnership is extremely important. And you know, and that's not to say that in relationships, maybe like if we're going to talk about trying to have this biblical style Christian relationship where the man is the leader, this is not to say that the woman can't be the breadwinner and the man is the leader, but the man also has to take ownership for certain things. Right. You putting constraints on a woman, making all these decisions without consulting her, or not participating in disciplining children. You're not the breadwinner, but the woman now has to cook and clean and do all this work, but you're just there. So it's kind of like you're not even participating. You're allowing this woman, you want this woman to be completely submissive to your leadership, but you're not even an active participant, right? All you are is leadership by mouth and by demand. And that doesn't make someone feel comfortable. That doesn't make them feel like they're in a partnership when someone is controlling them. That's not leadership. That's not taking responsibility. That's not making good decisions by consulting your partner. That's just being controlling and manipulative. And that doesn't really work. And like you said, like some, you know, sometimes you feel like, how did we get here? It doesn't always start here. But most of it comes from lack of communicating. One of the things you mentioned was really important is that you shouldn't have to tell someone how to be a leader. Right. But we learned from Jacob that he didn't learn how to be a leader.
Correct.
He learned how to be manipulated.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. He just allowed women and men to do things to him, right, and set the tone.
Correct.
And he just went with it. And so one of the things we need to do is examine our examples, our background, to understand, to say, like, am I acting as my parents or whoever's relationship that I learned from? Is that what I'm doing? Is that the right tone that I want to set for my family? Or are there things that I want to change? And even communicating what you need from each other. It's good for a man to say, yes, I want you to do X, Y, and Z. But as a leader, you also need to come to the table saying, I offer X, Y, and Z. Because if you're making a lot of demands, they better come with offers. And those offers have to be backed up by action. You can say whatever you want, but doing nothing means that you're just a talker.
Correct. Right.
And that doesn't make you a good leader. Right. That just makes you a talker.
Right.
And so the author tells us, like, first, David Clark tells us, like, first, we have to admit that the marriage has a pattern where the man is passive and the woman is disrespectful, right?
Yes.
Unfortunately, this is the situation. You have this unequally yoked relationship where there's a wimp and a witch. You have to acknowledge it. You have to come to terms with saying, like, this doesn't work. I'm not a leader. And she is nagging, or the other way around. He's not a leader, and I'm becoming aggressive and mean and disrespectful. And you don't, either of you don't like who you are, who you've become in the relationship, right. But you want to save the relationship. So you have to start having conversation. You have to start talking to one another about the things that you want and desire. The author tells us that we should have couple time, that is important to set 30 minutes per day, 4 times a week, to just have couple time where you're talking. I saw something online where they were like, they would have a meeting at the end of the year to talk about what they wanted to project for the full year next year. Right. Then each month they would talk about the goals and their targets. It could be individually, together, what they want to do with their kids, whether they want to move, what they're doing with their careers. But it's important to have talks and discussions with your partner so that you know what direction you're taking. Blind leadership doesn't actually work. No. You need a good leader to communicate what they're doing and why they're doing it, and to actually ask you for your input. It's a conversation. Also, a woman needs to communicate what her needs are, because a lot of times as women, I will admit myself, mm-hmm. I expect you to know. I would say, like, I shouldn't teach a man how to date me. Right. Like, at my age, a man should come equipped with knowledge, right? And then on top of it, I'm like, we're in the age of information. You can just Google it, right? Like, you should know how. And I'll tell you, like, I like to be courted. So if you can't court me, it's because to me, you're not really that interested in me, or you're not interested in making the effort. And if you're, and so I always say, like, I don't need to tell you how to treat me, but We do need to express how someone should treat us, because they're not mind readers. They can't guess. Yeah, they can do things and see how it reacts, but that's like throwing in the dark and right. seeing what sticks when you turn the lights on. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not really going to work. So part of the couple time is expressing your needs, both parties expressing right. their needs and seeing how they can come to terms with it. I think it's really difficult to overcome this wimp and witch scenario, but it takes commitment, dedication, and a lot of work.
Absolutely. And I think all in all, like you said, communication is key. And we see in all of these previous relationships, that is the thing that actually keeps the relationship solid, because that's where you can see what things are lacking, what things can be worked on, and prayer, most importantly, because in all of these relationships as well, and especially in this one, Jacob could have asked God for leadership. Like, to make him a stronger leader and how to deal with this ongoing battle between his two wives, you know, to break the generational curse of, you know, having the manipulative mom and being able to be easily manipulated, breaking that curse. So his wives, where he's seeing the same behavior, that doesn't happen to him as well. You know, so keeping God in the center is very important. Having discussions, like you mentioned, making that time for intimacy, making that time to have conversations about your future, about what's going on in the present. That's very important. And that builds intimacy. And at that time, maybe that would have helped Leah feel a little more loved, even though she wasn't the favorite.
Yeah. I mean, a man needs to be a leader in this traditional relationship, even though this is a throuple, right. But in the traditional relationship that we're talking about, in this particular dynamic, the man needs to be the leader and the woman needs to be submissive. And like you said, Phileas, submission is not a weakness. Right. It's a strength, because honestly, self-control takes work. Yeah. It's one of the fruits of the spirit, actually. So disciplining yourself not to always want to take control, always have the last word, fighting to say that you're right. That takes a lot of self-control. David Clark tells us there's 3 things a submissive wife. She meets her husband's needs. She uses one-way communication, and she allows her husband to be a leader in the marriage. Right. This is not really easy. Like, using the one-way communication could just be listening. You can just listen. You don't have to respond immediately. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you and your partner may not communicate the same way. So knowing your partner's communication style and waiting and listening This takes time. But if you're scheduling your couple time, you know your partner, you know how they communicate, you know how they feel about certain things. And having someone listen to you and hear you, like, it's important to you, this is a priority to you. And if they prioritize you, maybe they'll make it a priority for themselves too. So even as a woman, even being submissive, yeah, we have lots of criticism against a man. I'm going to say, like, women do it better. I believe that wholeheartedly. I've seen it over and over and over. So it's hard for us to not want to nitpick. Right. We know how to do things well. We're a little bit, we're strategic in a different way. But there's a way that you say things, right? You can say, you can touch your partner and be like, honey, I would really appreciate it if you do this. Honey, oh my God, I really need this. Would you do this for me? Mm-hmm. You can ask sweetly. Touch is very important. He says, touch is important. Giving your partner food. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe after you know, you feed your partner, right, maybe you can have a difficult conversation once they're satiated. Like, talking to somebody when they're hungry just makes them hangry. You can't talk to me when I'm hungry. Right. I can't hear you.
Right.
Also, like, you have to praise, as a submissive wife, you have to praise your husband for the little things.
Right.
They need this. It's important for you to say, I really, really like that you did that. Oh my God, honey, I noticed that the garage door is fixed. Thank you so much. You're the best. Even if it took 2 weeks.
Right.
And you wanted it done yesterday.
Even if it's lopsided, you know.
Thank you so much, honey. Right. You know, you gotta, we as women have to learn that even in our being dynamic, you have to give up control.
Correct.
And not that giving up control is bad, but you have to trust someone. You have to trust that the person, they're not going to do it the way you want to do it. You do it. You have to let that go. But you have to trust that this person will not say, follow me and I'm going to
lead you
off a cliff.
Correct.
Right. You have to trust. You have to give up some control, but it takes a lot of trust too. So women, we can't hold on to everything that's little. If you're having your couple time, this is the time that you're talking.
Right.
If you don't schedule your couple time, you're not going to be able to resolve these issues. You just need to spend quality
time
alone with your partner and have discussions.
Right.
It's communication is so important. You're not going to thrive without it. And you're not going to overcome this wimp and witch syndrome if the man doesn't start taking the initiative to have the couple time, and two, if the woman doesn't learn to peel back and submit.
Right. Yes, it's definitely a two-way street in this, and that is where the unity comes in, is that both of you have to realize that there's a push-pull effect and come to the middle ground for compromise.
Yes.
Amen.
I think there's so much
to
say.
So much to talk about.
There's so much that's in this chapter. I can't wait to talk to you guys more about it on the live.
Right.
Stay tuned for announcements and closing prayer. Thank you for tuning into our podcast today as we discuss the outrageous throuple in our yoke series, Jacob, Leah, and Rachel. We hope you enjoy the discussion, but before we wrap, we have a few announcements and then we would like to close in prayer. Are you subscribed to our podcast? Do you like us on YouTube? Are you following us on Instagram? Treading Faith is our handle on all platforms, and you can follow our IG page to keep current on what's happening with Treading Faith. Like and subscribe to us on YouTube and share this podcast with your friends, family, colleagues, and neighbors alike. Our podcast is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, our website, treadingfaith.captivate.fm, and where other podcasts are found. We want to grow, so if you like us, don't forget to subscribe and share. Now, let's join together in prayer. We believe in the power of prayer, specifically praying the text of the Bible, because according to Isaiah 55:11, God's word will not come back to us void. And because we believe our prayers are strengthened in numbers, we ask that you come into agreement with us for this prayer. Father, Lord, in heaven, our heavenly host, we thank you for your guidance and provision daily. We thank you for hearing us. We thank you for your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness of our sins. According to Matthew 18:20, when two or more are gathered in your name, you are present. We welcome your presence here and now, and continually in our daily lives. Father God, we desire to be aligned with your word. We desire to have relationships that align with your word, that has the wisdom of your teachings, so that we may thrive in a way you have designed, so that we may be blessed because we are in covenant with you. Father, when we enter relationships, sometimes it's hard to take our ego out of it. So Father, help us if we are struggling in any ways with our ego. Father, help us to realize and recognize any areas that sow seeds of discontent in our relationship. Help us to realize it, address it, confront it, and move past it. Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look not only on its own interest, but the interests of others. Father God, when we enter into relationships, let us be mindful not to be self-centered, but to look into the interests of the other person, that we serve just as Jesus has served the church. 1 Peter 5:3 says, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to your flock. Father, let us enter healthy relationships with a healthy balance, where there's proper leadership, leadership that's not controlling, but leadership is by example. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wife as Christ has loved the church and give himself up for her. Father, we know that in this day and age, the do me, YOLO attitude, mentality, and sentiments don't allow us to open ourselves to be caring for one another. We tend to put ourselves first before others. Father, I pray that you help us to reconcile these feelings and these motives so that we can be molded like Christ, so that we can have a heart and mind that aligns with your word. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Show honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Father, we know when two or more gathered, you're present. So we ask that our relationships mirror this covenant. Let us be two that gathered before you in your name, so that our prayers will be heard, so that we come into agreement, so that our prayers won't be hindered. Colossians 3:18 says, wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Father God, give us a heart and mind that is fitting for the Lord, that is in righteousness, so that we may be submissive to our husbands as leaders. Ephesians 5:33 says, however, let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is an important dynamic that you have given to us. Let us hold firm to this principle of leadership and respect, submission, kindness, and love. 1 Peter 3:1 says, wives, be subject to your own husband, so that even if some do not obey the word, that they may be won with the word by the conduct of their wives. Father God, allow us to be good examples of your leadership, Father God, so that we may inspire our partner also to build their relationship with you. Father, we seek to have healthy relationships. We seek to be in covenant with you. And we're so grateful to learn from the couples in the Bible so that we may do the right thing. Whether it's to have the dynamic of leadership and submission, to have proper and structured communication, to pray together, to love and have grace for one another. Teach us, guide us, allow these seeds to plant and take root, so that we may grow in your word and grow in our relationship. Matthew 18:19 says, if at least two of us agree on earth about anything we ask for, it will be done by our Father in heaven. So we come into agreement for this prayer and we say amen, 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 in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to our podcast today. We love you and we'll catch you next week. Bye.